It's time for Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. For more information about Daniel Pryor and his services, visit BibleBasedCounselor.com. Daniel has offices in Kirkland and Edmonds. And now your host, Daniel Pryor.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, another edition of the Sound Mind broadcast with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. Hello there, Mr. Pryor.
Hello, Mark. Good morning or good afternoon.
Whenever we might be listening to this. And, of course, we're all still dealing with the coronavirus and how to deal with stress, in particular of this real emergency. And you have a special guest you want to include in the conversation today.
I do. I'm really, really happy to be able to have this dialogue on the radio with a close friend and colleague of mine, Brian Tingley, that does a really good work, has a load of clients down there in the Pierce County, Tacoma area. And Brian, how are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I'm doing good. And Brian, we go back, I was thinking this morning, we go back probably 25 years or maybe more now. Does that sound about right?
Yeah, so it was in the late 90s that I met you at in community mental health.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, and you have a practice down there, and you do. You know, I used to refer people to you, but you're very busy now. I probably still would if I got calls from down in that area. But Brian is a man that I trust. Probably one of the few people that I would trust and actually send people to. But so I have a great deal of respect for you, Brian. And also, we just have a whole lot of fun when we just get together and dialogue. So we had this topic come up. I'm in the counseling profession. Brian's in the counseling profession, born-again Christians. And so I just wanted to have an opportunity to have you share some thoughts too here this morning. So what I had in mind here, the last couple of weeks, and people have heard on the show here that we've been talking about the coronavirus. Of course, it's hard to get around that these days. And I'm sure you have also, as I have, had clients that, of course, they're struggling with this, and it's interesting to see how when something like this comes on us, we it's like the chain breaking at the weakest link. People a lot of times resort back to the very things that they're trying to get victory over, whether it be anxiety, depression, anger, you know, relationship problems, work at stress, addictions, those things. It's a real setback. Another thing, too, mm-hmm. that I've run into is people who have had a difficult time forming relationships, and this isolation just kind of puts the cap on that. So I wanted to talk a bit this morning about the social effects of the virus, mm-hmm. and we might get toward ways to cope with it. I had down here to begin with that obviously, and actually a client helped me to see this, that it interrupts our routines and relationships. And I remind people that have heard me on the show before, our world is either getting larger or smaller. I think you and I have kicked this idea around before. You know, we're either growing our world, we're either pursuing what I refer to pursuing value, control, and power, or we're either moving toward relationships and toward challenges, or we're moving away from relationships and away from challenges. And so we either have to create or relate and create in order to enlarge our world and have meaning in life. But this virus thing has kind of put the kibosh on a lot of times creativity and relating as well. Mm-hmm. Do you have any thoughts on that? Yeah, go ahead.
You mentioned routines. I think when something like this happens, where our routines are disrupted, there's kind of like, oh, I might not even realize I had this auto pilot kind of way of living of maybe not being able to go out and do something entertaining, or maybe not be able to go out and get some food the way I used to, or be able to see somebody. And so I think we learn about ourselves when something like this happens too. It's like, wow, who am I? I didn't even realize I was that way. And mm-hmm. or something that maybe, you know, you talk about moving towards relationships or moving away from relationships, I think this can also help us see our need for people and our need to not be alone. And that can kind of come up too. Kind of brings our internal world to the surface, mm-hmm. and being more aware of it, or at least it has that potential for that.
I've seen that in many different ways. I've seen that particularly in some ways with a lot of my clients if not most of my clients are born again Christians. And so, but at the same time, people I find who have the highest levels of anxiety and I guess it would be the lowest levels of depression, a lot of times are people who don't have solid relationships or enough close relationships. And so you would expect that in the church, this would be one of the places that we're supposed to find those relationships. But I find that a lot of clients have not connected in their church. And as you're pointing out here, they really haven't realized it until a time like this, when you can't actually go to the church gathering, and you find that, well, I guess I really didn't have any connections there because I've got nothing now, not even the Sunday morning service. But you also, you're one of the things that I've got down here that you're kind of sounds like heading toward is that routines the routines that we have can be coping mechanisms. They provide us with a sense of whether they be relationships or things that we're creating. They kind of provide us with that sense of having value, having meaning, having control, and having resources. And if people have heard me on the radio before, they've heard me talk a lot about this value, control, and power, or value, control, and resources as the way that we deal with fear and shame. And another thing that comes to mind is that this COVID-19 has reminded us that we're mortal. And in the context of being reminded that we're mortal, we're face to face with fear and shame. You know that we have lots of fears, but underlying those fears is the realization that we're mortal. If I say to people, we all fear, and we all fear for the same reason, you know, I say, what would that be? And most people will say death. And so we don't fear death directly, but we fear some things that represent death, that is having no value, having no control at all. And when you speak of control, of course, this coronavirus is something that we have no control over. So there's kind of a light at the end of the tunnel as far as the medical research and the progress they're making there. But the individuals at home, we're totally reliant upon what the doctors are doing, what the scientists are doing in terms of turning this around, and there's really nothing we can do about it. And so that gets right to our mortality. Go ahead.
Yeah, I think under that kind of our mortality is, I think in this fallen world, we live in this broken world, in this fallen world. I think under that fear, you know, one lens that I view it is I think our greatest fear is to either not be loved or feel that we're not lovable. Mm-hmm. We all get these messages in this broken world, in this imperfect world, but in many subtle ways that we're not enough or maybe somebody doesn't like us, and there's that fear. And so we move away from relationships, or we try to find the safest way. So you mentioned that connecting. Mm-hmm. And so we go to church and we don't always connect because we're afraid of each other. And there's a lot of reasons for that. You mentioned resources. I think in a country like the United States, where we have a lot of resources, we substitute relationships. We can buy services, and so we don't need each other as much, mm-hmm. or depend on each other as much. And then when that stuff is taken away, then we feel more, I think we feel more that vulnerability that we need each other. And if we haven't been living life that way,
right,
then it's kind of like, it's risky. Oh, I need something from you. Will you give it to me? Will you not give it to me? Or I'm wrestling with this on the inside, and I'm afraid to share that with somebody. I don't know what they're going to do with that information. And I think that all fits under that power, value, power, and control.
Right. Yeah, yeah, I hear you saying
it's just
that,
a different way of,
go ahead.
Just gonna say it's a different kind of different way of languaging the subtle differences under those categories.
Yeah, yeah. So I hear you saying that a lot of times we use resources. And resources can be lots of different things. Resources can be time, it can be hobbies, it can be money, it can be amusements, entertainments, lots of different things. And we use those a lot of times in lieu of and almost we ignore relationships because we have those things. I think that people, you know, there's a couple of things in my practice, being again that it's mostly with Christian people, there's like two things that I think Christians don't understand very well. One of the things is marriage, and the other thing is the body of Christ. And this crisis that we're in right now is kind of a measuring rod for individuals and churches too. You know, are we really a body? So we go to the church service, and it meets some kinds of needs, and those can be under the needs could be under the title of resources. So a resource could even be meeting a spiritual need in a sense, you know. So people can have resources. I know a lot of people that go to the church service in the morning, and they really look forward to the worship service. Or other people go to the service, and they really look forward to the sermon. He might even really look forward to socializing, but do we carry it beyond that to the point where we're really, as Paul described it in Ephesians, fitly joined together? And I think that that's where this is pointing out how thin, for some of us, how thin those relationships have been, and so it's kind of a measuring rod. We're going to take a break here, and want to remind folks that to get in touch with myself, I'm doing Skype counseling now. Still have the offices open, but a lot of people prefer the Skype at this point, so we can do that. You can call me at 425-778-6169, 425-778-6169, or people also email me through the website, BibleBasedCounselor.com. We'll be right back with Brian Tingley in just a moment.
Okay, back with more of the Sound Mind broadcast with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor in just a moment.
Hi, this is Daniel Pryor, counselor and life coach. You know, anxiety and depression contribute to every type of psychosis, behavioral problem, and even many health issues. Unchecked, they can ruin your life. But you don't have to let that happen. If you feel that you or someone that you know is struggling with anxiety and depression, call me and let me teach you the tools to build, manage, and maintain a more wholesome lifestyle. Contact me through my website at BibleBasedCounselor.com or call me at 425-778-6169.
Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. And now your host, Daniel Pryor.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, but actually another co-host this week with Daniel. He has a special guest. Why don't you reintroduce your guest?
Yes, I'm talking with Brian Tingley, a therapist I've known for 25 or more years, and a colleague and a trusted friend, a good Christian man, and an excellent therapist as well, working in the Pierce County, Tacoma area down there. And so Brian and I are talking about the coronavirus, but more importantly, the effect that it's had on us and how people are coping. And so we're just right in the middle of our dialogue here. We're pointing out, you know, when these this coronavirus has reminded us that we're mortal, and realizing that we're mortal brings a couple of things to the forefront: fear and shame. And people experience fear and shame in various ways. It can be ways of dealing. You know, I have a seminar that I do, Faces of Anger, and so we talk a lot about this, how that, you know, fear and shame basically generates anger in all its various forms. Anger is a fear and shame-based defense mechanism associated with the gain or loss of value, control, and power, which is to say that if I feel valued and if I have control over circumstances and I have resources, I probably don't have anxiety and depression. It's in the lack of those resources that I experience those things. And of course, those value, control, and power, that's the need for that is associated with my sense of my recognition of my mortality. I'm kind of taking the short path here. But these things can be exhibited in, when this coronavirus has brought out in some people going back to old habits that they were trying to break, be addictions, or that can also, poor communication styles, just ways that we, routines, we pointed out earlier, routines that were actually coping mechanisms. And as Brian and I were talking about, they're not all necessarily healthy. It can exhibit in anxiety, depression, irritability, impatience, resentment. This is not an exhaustive list by any means, but this is what I'm seeing with people that are coming in my own life too. This irritability, impatience, and those kinds of things that are because our routines are broken. And we're off the tracks here. And now we're realizing how, for better or worse, I had routines that gave me this sense of being okay, but now this is a real measuring rod. There's a scripture in Jeremiah. I forget where the text is exactly, but I was reminded of it this past week. Someone quoted it to me, and it's along the lines of, if you can't keep up with the foot soldiers, how will you run with the horses? And so, as a church, we look forward to times of testing. And this is kind of like, again, a measuring rod, I think. I was interested, you've heard this, Brian, that since this epidemic has come, there's been a 55% increase in alcohol consumption or purchase. And I would guess, suspect that is the same across the board for people going for prescribed medications or drugs, illegal drugs or narcotics or whatever.
I heard also along with that stat on alcohol is also junk food or comfort food.
Oh, yeah.
So yeah, I think people are resorting to what they know makes them feel a little better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, we do that. Go ahead.
On an extreme of unhealthy, in my view, I heard that the porn industry was offering free porn to people, and I just thought, wow, okay, well, I think we can do better than that.
That now that you say that, it doesn't surprise me at all. But I wouldn't have thought of it. But yeah, and getting them hooked, right?
Right.
Free for now and pay later. Yeah.
Yeah. Vulnerable people. Crisis also. People take advantage of vulnerable people too, which I think is all the more reason for, you mentioned the body of Christ and the church to be reaching out to those that are needing help and comfort, and for us to recognize our own need for comfort and love and support. Mm-hmm. And we're right in there with everybody else.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. As a matter of fact, I had a close friend that I had lost his phone number, and I knew he was going through some things, and I had the thought she'd give him a call, and then I realized, well, I had damaged a phone, and I lost his phone number. So, but eventually I was able to get the phone number back, but then I had a choice. I can either call him or talk to him, or I could text him, or I could email him. And, I wound up emailing him, and then I was wondering, kind of analyzing, why did I do that later? And of course, it was because I didn't want to phone him because I didn't want to get into a conversation. I didn't want to text him because I didn't want to get into a conversation. So I emailed him. And so that's a good example, bad on me, but that's a good example of the way we've come to depend on kind of virtual relationships. And now when something like this comes upon us, those really are not adequate, are they?
Yeah, I can relate to, call, text, email. It relationships are very inefficient. They take a lot of time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It doesn't always seem like something we're getting everything we want out of it, and so it really becomes an investment that over a long period of time it pays off in times like this where we need each other, and I think. this is where the Bible can really help us out. And, you know, it lets us know how God thinks, which is we need to love each other. Mm-hmm. We need to reach out to Him and rely on Him. And when we're just going along kind of in our mortal world, trying to make life work in this temporary time and space, we have temporary time and space antidotes or habits or cures for that, and they don't really work when we need something a little more, like when we're facing mm-hmm. eternity or a death or the loss of our mm-hmm. resources. That's when I think the Bible gives us something much more concrete mm-hmm. to rely on.
Right, and the some of the reports that we hear, I know people tend to, at a time like this, kind of fall back and wait for the pastor's lead. Not every church has a pastor, if you've experienced that. Some churches have teachers behind the pulpit. Some churches have evangelists behind the pulpit. Some churches have pastors behind the pulpit. And if you're one of those churches where that person behind the pulpit is a teacher, this is the kind of time where it might seem like he or she is missing in action. They're there to prepare the saints for the work of the ministry, and here we are in an opportune time to find out if we can work the ministry, because the working the ministry is acting like an actual body. I've talked about this on the radio before, but recently read a book that was written actually quite some time ago, 1984, 1985. Maybe you've read it, Brian. It's by Dr. Paul Brand, In His Image. He goes and talks about the physical body and how that it, the body of Christ acts just like that. And I was fascinated by that book because for some years I'd been telling people the body of Christ is not an analogy, it's a living organism. And so when I found this book and it just nailed it, it's fascinating the way, you know, we don't care because we care. We care because we're a body. If I wait for the compassion before I pray for someone, I probably won't do very much praying. But if I pray for someone, I'll get the compassion. If we start acting like a body, and this is kind of where a lot of people are, we stood back, and the pastor has kind of disappeared, or the church service has disappeared. Some churches have done really well. Some churches could do better. But we can't just leave it up to the pastor, can we? We can work the ministry, and this is where people have to push against the wall a little bit. If you're not a social person, you've got to find some way to push against that and make a phone call. Or, now we're kind of relying on a lot of times on email or some of these things. But bearing, I have down here that scripture from, I think it was in Galatians 6, where we're supposed to bear our own burdens and also bear one another's burdens. That can be a bit confusing for people sometimes, but actually it makes sense. I have to work out my own salvation, and I should be doing that, and then I need to be looking around at people that are struggling. And this is a great time to be doing that.
Yes. I remember back in school, I had this kind of like epiphany for myself where it was kind of like, you know, everyone generally, when there's a crisis, wants to help and kind of get involved in some way if they know that they're making a difference in the world. And I realized, you know, as a counselor, I have all my own needs as a person too, but I have to kind of manage that the best that I can and then have something left over to give if I'm going to give to others. And so I think if our worldview is to love like God wants us to love, then we kind of have to manage our lives in a way that gives room and positions ourselves to be able to give mm-hmm. more. But if we're just kind of like going along, being busy and making life work kind mm-hmm. of in mm-hmm. our own little tiny world without something mm-hmm. broader, it's hard to kind of what I call position ourselves mm-hmm. to be able to do that. And mm-hmm. and yeah, I think that makes a lot of sense, that view of the body of Christ mm-hmm. has to be the body and act the body. And
yeah.
I think that becomes like a spiritual discipline mm-hmm. In a sense.
And like one last thought before we stop here is that I think a lot of people don't recognize what that looks like, because we have in mind, we have that thought that, well, you know, I'm not a spiritual giant. I can't like put it on autopilot and have joy. It's the manna principle. I was talking to somebody about this the other day. God doesn't want us to have enough for 2 or 3 days in a row. It's a daily thing. It's a daily walk. You simply cannot, and this is a good example with this coronavirus, you can't read the Bible or pray one day and have enough to last you for the week. It's got to be a daily thing. I've just got the signal from Mark that we're wrapping up on the end of the show. So I want to thank you again, Brian, Brian Tingley down there in Tacoma, doing a great job. And I hope I can have you back on at another time pretty soon here. Love talking to you. And until we meet, God bless you. Thank you for joining us here today, Brian.
Thanks, Dan. I appreciate the opportunity. It's always good to talk with you.
Okay. For my audience and for my clients, I'm currently doing Skype counseling. And the way you can set that up, just you have to phone me and we have to set it up anyway. But people contact me at 425-778-6169, 425-778-6169. And people also email me through the website, BibleBasedCounselor.com, where you will also find these radio shows in podcast.
Okay, another edition of the Sound Mind broadcast with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor here on KCIS.
You've been listening to Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. For more information about Daniel Pryor and his services, visit BibleBasedCounselor.com. Daniel has offices in Kirkland and Edmonds. To make an appointment, call 425-778-6169. Be sure to tune in each Tuesday afternoon at 1 p.m. for Sound Mind with Daniel Pryor.